Welcome to the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. This is Mark Steven Schwartz. It is both an honor and a privilege for me to read the diaries from Allied and American civilian prisoners of war interned in and around Kobe, Japan during the Great Pacific War, World War II. This is episode number 15, and we pick back up with February 26, 1942.
Harold Brinkerhoff. We had a piece of fish today the size of a fig bar. Some cereal, coffee, a tangerine, and bread for breakfast. Our window shutters have been closed most of all day. We had a generous helping of curried rice for dinner. We've been organized into first air and firefighting brigades. We hope it portends something. We've been told we will be moved to a safer place if there's any bombing. We're only 3 blocks from the docks and shipyards. We had whale steak for supper. It is a very dark meat, but tasted good. Anywhere you go through the house, you hear the war being fought. There are various and sundry theories on strategy. I heard a fellow expounding on the theory that when the war is over, the Axis and the Allies will combine to fight the USSR. Talk is cheap. That is about all we have plenty of. I spend most of my time reading or playing chess. I will have to teach Elzada when I get home. It's my group's turn to clean the downstairs lounging room. We have to do it after 9 p.m. We have a group for each day. The halls and bathrooms are clean during the day. We each take a turn setting our table, filling the drinking glasses, and placing the bread on the bread plates. There are 6 at my table. Durham, Lowe, Brunton, Inserti, Hansen, and myself. I have been going to bed early. The wattage of our electric bulbs is low, so I don't do any reading at night. The Japs are very conservative on lights. We are allowed only fires for 2 hours, mornings and evenings. It's awful hard to keep the clean because of the coal dust. Keep them clean because of the coal dust. Charles F. Gregg. Still studying Spanish 2 hours daily and have read Psychology of Life by Lester D. Whitehead. Exercise in the park rather infrequently due to bad weather. However, it is getting slightly warmer. No ice on the water in the mornings, but a high fog most of the time, however, keeps the sun from warming up the town. Bryant Sterling. Had fire and first aid drill today, which caught me in bed taking a nap. Arrived late at the assembly, thereby making a poor example of myself. My job is to sit in the library while waiting for the first aid gang to lead me out to safety. The police made a bonfire in the backyard court, and at a given signal, our bucket brigade was supposed to throw water on it. One wild-eyed guy with a big bushy beard fills his bucket, knocks over 2 or 3 fellows in his haste, throws the water on the fire, jumps up in the air, swings the empty bucket around his head and shouts, "Fire out!" All of which happened in a few seconds before the rest of the bucket gang knew what was happening. Sure presented a funny sight, giving everyone a big laugh as well as the Japanese. Made a couple nightcaps for myself out of wool from a sailor's uniform. Found out by holding the head of the needle in the crook of my forefinger that the thread wouldn't slip around, thereby causing the thread to drop unevenly. Funny, but this little discovery between hating and enjoying to sew. Had a good meal tonight. Slice of beef, dripped in batter and fried. Fish, macaroni, coleslaw, carrots, 2 slices of bread, and consomme. Some soup. Supper usually makes up for phony breakfast we usually have. February 27th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. We had a good slice of fish, some scrambled eggs, some coffee, bread. Not a bad breakfast. Action is getting hot around Borneo. The Japs admit losing 9 to 10 from 9 of theirs to... The Japs admit losing 9 to 10 of their planes. Okay. The American carrier was thought destroyed, but they didn't wait to be certain. Looks like Uncle Sam is coming to us. We did have special orders to keep all shutters closed. Several factories are being dismantled for the metal. Officials said it is to build better and more modern factories. The weather is warming. We had a rain last night. The cold weather is supposed to be over. I'm reading Gold Dust and Ashes, a true story about the New Guinea gold fields. About the only way we can glean any news is by small articles of rebuttal of claims made by Uncle Sam. The losses suffered by the Japanese are always insignificant. From February 3rd, the Japs had downed 463 of our planes with a loss of only 6. Something is rotten in Denmark. There have been several news items where Jap aviators have brought their planes in and landed. On inspection, the flyers were dead. This hasn't happened once, but several times. I have to bathe and wash my clothes. The week has passed rapidly. I shave only once every 4 or 5 days. It's good I don't have a heavy beard. Razor blades aren't too good and are hard to get. I lost all my shaving gear in Guam. Bryant Sterling. Boy is beginning to hoard the salt and pepper, putting it in tin cans so we'll have some in case we move. House boys caught on to this, so now they ration the seasoning out to us. A big discussion at muster whether we are to boil water over coals for tea and water. Finally decide it's okay if all cans are picked up afterward. February 28th, 1942. Charles F. Gregg. Big event today. Talked with the Swiss consul, Mr. Maurice Guckknecht. Results? He's gonna, one, try and get us funds, and he's fairly sure of getting them. Two, clothing, at least underwear, etc. Three, he will see what can be done to A, improve the quantity of our food, B, get us permission to get more liberties, C, get us technical books and study material. D, get permission for us to send letters home via diplomatic exchange boat. E, have priests transferred to Kyoto with other Catholic fathers. And F, have Guam men sent home or be able to write home. Information. Exchange of diplomats agreed upon, but not expected to be consummated until April or May. All diplomats to go by same boat. In other words, the United States and the British and Northeast Indies and some South American countries. He does not believe it's possible for internees to be exchanged on the same boat with diplomats. However, he believes that after the exchange of diplomats, there will be an exchange of nationals. But this will take time. His assistant said that the Japanese were most desirous of exchanging nationals at the same time as the diplomats, but that the United States was not so inclined. We stress the desirability of direct communication to the 9 companies and Pan American Airways for their lobbyists to work on exchange and emphasize the influence that could be exerted by these companies. We were most reluctant to accept, without contest, the thought of nationals having to wait for consulate staff to arrive in the United States prior to negotiating for our exchange. Approximate number of Americans in Japan, 200, plus our group of 133 civilians only, not including military. Guckknecht was interested in our treatment and made a full inquiry relevant to housing, food, heat, clothing and recreation, and permission for this interview was secured from Tokyo, where the delay in granting the permission occurred. it was asked that further interviews at frequent regular intervals be granted. Gutnecht advised that a representative of the International Red Cross was soon to be appointed to the Kobe area, and that such a representative would be allowed to actually visit and inspect our living quarters. Mabuchi told me to get ready for the interview 15 minutes before we were to leave. He took me by train to the police station about 4 miles from where Ismaida served as the official police translator. Mr. Sawa was in charge, and various other police officers were at desks on all sides of us during the time Mr. Eldridge and I talked in English to the Swiss consul. Clark Eldridge was the leader and the spokesman for the older Americans housed in the Butterfield house where the rooms were all heated. Charles F. Gregg represented all the internees at the Siemens Institute, the younger group. Ismaida and Mabuchi brought me home to Institute via the subway, which leads out of the city 4 miles towards Osaka. We had a good cup of coffee. It's their sots, that's 30% coffee, in a modern-looking coffee shop at the subway. Toothbrush and powder supplied to us this evening. Harold Brinkerhoff. Nothing much to growl about today. Our meals have been good. Our group leader was taken up to the police station and talked with the Swiss consul. The Swiss are to represent our country there. Our leader was told we could get some clothes. I hope I get some leather shoes. Our leader was told the diplomats would be leaving around the 1st of May. If we don't go with them, I have the feeling we will be here for the duration. The consul said he would try and get more food for us and arrange for letters to go on the exchange ship. He was asked about getting us something sweet. On this score, he was very disappointing. He said sugar was very scarce and sweets of any description are hard to come by. He said our best chance would be to get such things from home through the Red Cross. I think the war will last at least until the summer of 1943. If we are here at that time, I am sure things will be very bad. The consul is to request permission to send cables to Pan American and the 6 companies for the PNAB contractors and get their lobbyists to work for an exchange. The Japs are very desirous of an exchange. Of course, we don't know upon what terms. That is a possible catch to the whole thing. Roy Henning. Ma's birthday. The Swiss consulate will try to extend aid. U.S. envoy is not leaving until about April or May. Fire drills in the courtyard. Charles Moneyhan is teaching me piano. Says I'm doing very well. I can play Swanee River now. Brian Sterling, February 28th, another eventful day. Greg, our group leader, had a talk with the chief of police in Kobe in regard to the American nationals here at Kobe. Found out that no arrangements had been made to send our group back, but the American diplomats are to go home sometime in May of this year. There's a chance we may go with them, providing the arrangements could be made by that time. At least we can figure on at least 2 or 3 more months here. Also told our radio messages were being broadcast. Said they would try to get money sent to us, and also in the future we may get a little more freedom in order to spend it. Had the promise of more food, but no more sugar. Japanese are only allowed 4 ounces per month. Built a piece of equipment today that was really a knockout. Many of the fellows thought I had bought it, it being so well built and practical. Bill Falvey got a big kick out of it. The thing in question was a sandwich toaster designed to hold a sandwich over the coals, providing a crisp, hot toasted sandwich. The sandwich can be toasted on both sides without any danger of falling apart. It was kind of a clamp that held the bread finish together, and at the same time leaving the bread surface entirely exposed so it could be toasted evenly all over. Sure, I'm proud of it. Only one in existence. ordered a pair of pliers and a file from Al, a Finnish fellow, living next door to my room and who is allowed to go to town. He brought me the file this afternoon. Not a bad one, but it cost 80 cents. Kind of steep. The pliers will cost me $1.50 and will come in Monday. Took a bath tonight and poured in plenty of sheep dip to see if I couldn't kill a rash that broke out on my legs in Guam and is still with me. Doesn't look bad, but itches at night. Also have some on my bunny. Woe is me. Finally wound the day up by doing a washing. We'll hang the clothes up in the morning. Took a bath. A couple notes from today's podcast. On February 17th, there's a newspaper article that included in the prisoner's belongings. It's titled, "No Explanations Revealed on Last Night's Explosion." Long Beach sought in vain today for an explanation of what sounded like a tremendous explosion in the water off eastern Long Beach last night, which jolted residences over a wide area and woke up sleeping persons. Neither the Army, Navy, nor the police this morning had an answer, or else they were not prepared to divulge the information. A spokesman for the Commandant's office said there was no information available concerning the report and its attendant jolt. The Long Beach Police Department said the alleged explosion had been reported, but there was no available explanation. The explosion took place at approximately 8:30, according to the numerous reports, some of which placed it definitely at 8:24 and others at 8:39. Persons who were in a position to locate the sound said that it appeared to be at sea, close off a point about 3 miles from downtown Long Beach, or directly south of Belmont Shore. It was reported that planes were in the air at the time and that Army spotlights shortly afterward were in action. Officers of the Interceptor Command said only it was nothing to be concerned about. Run on March 1st, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. March has come in like a lamb. Maybe it'll go out like a lion with bomb showers. There are some fortunate men who have money. They have been able to get some extra food by bribing the houseboys. There are two men who make regular trips to the hospital. One has trench mouth and the other has a bad foot. Men who have money have had them buy food on their trips. There's little to buy but bottled fruit, mostly tangerines. Fresh tangerines are at a premium. Our breakfast was very slim. A piece of fish the size of a dollar, a pee-wee boiled egg, and our two slices of bread were very thin. When we get slim meals, we say they must have had some reverses on the battlefront. Likewise, when we have a good meal, we say they must have sunk our Pacific Fleet again. Our Pacific Fleet is supposed to be in Davy Jones' locker, but still action is picking up in the south. We must have transferred our Atlantic Fleet, or there has been a resurrection. Our loss of planes and ships, as reported by the Japs, is staggering. If the news can be relied on, we will have to build 500 planes a day to keep any in the air. It'll be a pleasure when I get home to compare our newspaper reports with those here. On occasion, they admit some slight losses. I have had all about Japan that I care for. I would like to see some retribution before I leave here with my own eyes. The Swiss consul said he was sure he could procure funds for us from the American Consulate Fund. Charles F. Gregg. Peace and Paper tells of naval engagement off Wake Island, now Otorishima, wherein the U.S. cruiser sunk and three destroyers destroyed and another cruiser struck and set a fire at the well deck. This was done by the Japanese Wild Eagles and the Atori Shore Batteries. Northeast Indies has lost 559 planes by Japanese Navy and over 200 by Japanese Army during the past month and a half. Over 759 NEI planes, January 15th to March 1st. Roy Henning. Study music, astronomy, cookery. made a work and study schedule to go by. Time flitting by very fast, days seemed too short. Had pickled cherries with our lunch, also whale meat, fish noodles, good chow. Bryant Sterling. Had quite a discussion today as to whether we were eating horse meat or whale meat. One old-timer had been a sailor on the old sailing ships when he'd been around the Horn a good many times and had eaten much whale meat, said they couldn't fool him on that stuff. However, he said, it could be possible it was porpoise meat, as there was little, if any, difference. Okapinti claimed it was horse meat. Claimed he and his family had eaten quite a bit of horse meat, as it was the custom of the Italians to eat it occasionally. For one breakfast recently, they brought out a single piece of fish on a plate about the size of a teacup. This was our sole breakfast, besides two thin slices of bread and a cup of imitation coffee. I asked the houseboy what kind of fish it was. He stretched out his arms and then flapped them, which made me think he meant the stingray. The bones of the fish were of cartilage, so this bore out that assumption. I received my pliers today. The fin left them under my pillow. Certainly glad to get them. March 2nd, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. It's funny how one's squeamishness with regards to food changes when you're hungry. I am convinced that choice of foods is a matter of mind. We had stingaree for breakfast and liked it. Since being here, we've eaten whale, shark, cuttlefish, squid, stingaree, octopus, seaweed, and I found all of them good. Brunton told me several early stories of Guam that were interesting. Number one, Henry Mills Champ, an ex-pirate, and the coffin incident. Number two, an American whaling captain who in 1880 fired a cannonball into the Spanish governor's palace, which came to rest on his bedroom floor. Number three, Governor Maxwell prohibited whistling and later was declared insane by the medical officer in the leave. And four, the influential natives who associated with officers were called the Shoe Gang. Brunton knew Perrick, the one we knew at Rincon. He married one of the Gulch girls. He was a pilot in Guam. He got up for a flight when something went wrong and he crashed near Santa Cruz Island Fort in Opera Harbor. It was in this crash that he lost his eye. Brunton and I have been talking about our shark adventure. We decided it'd be nice if we could buy a ship in San Diego or Los Angeles and sail it back. It would be a 6 or 7 week trip. We could outfit it better for our purposes there. We've also talked of buying a knockdown boat on the East Coast and having it shipped to Guam. We both thought it better, however, to buy on the Pacific coast and sail it back. I can picture how enthused Elzada and the boys would be for such a trip. Charles F. Gregg. No great events or changes in our existence. Breakfast has been greatly reduced and is now bread, coffee, and a very small piece or spoonful of fish. Bryant Sterling. Roy Hahn bought a can of coffee for me today. It cost $95 for 200 grams of dry coffee, and I'll pay him back $1 when we get home. He's been very nice so far, helping me out financially. The stuff doesn't look or taste like coffee. It comes in a dry form as a powder and takes about a tablespoon to a 2.5 size fruit can. We boil our water over the fireplace in cans. It's a very good supplement to the meals, which are getting skimpier every day. Found a nice little earthen bottle like I bought Mom in Frisco for keeping my coffee warm. Spent most of the day copying Japanese words from Gus Gilbert's grammar to my homemade notebook. Was going to buy Charles Moneyhand's grammar, but couldn't afford it. He wanted 2 yen. March 3rd, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. It rained practically all day. It is pleasantly warm. Life is much more livable now that we do not suffer from the cold. Our breakfast consisted of a fourth of a boiled egg, some spinach, and a small bony fish, coffee, and bread. The more I think of our venture, the more enthused I become. I figure if I were to arrive home June 1st, I would have $2,000 in back wages coming. We figure we can get a boat adequate for our needs for anywhere from $1,000 to $1,500. It would only take another $500 or $600 to outfit it. Only 3 months until June 1st, so 2 months here and one to get home. 1 month there and start back on my birthday. That would be a nice little birthday present. Charles F. Gregg. We were able to buy some peanut butter, about a pint, for 1.80 yen. Some of the fish we have had was spoiled or nearly so. 6 of the men have had mild attacks of diarrhea and ptomaine poisoning from it. Bryant Sterling. March 3rd. Uneventful. March 4th, 1942. Harold Brinkerhoff. Nothing much. Just another day gone that we will not have to live again. Such is life in the Far East. 3 fellows were down from the Butterfield house. They were confident we will not see the snow fly again in Japan. Charles F. Gregg. Charlie Craver came down from Butterfield to get some reading materials. All is well at the other place. Paper told of a great sea battle off Surabaya, Java. The paper said Japanese fleet and planes sank 6 cruisers and 9 destroyers, and badly damaged 4 more cruisers and 6 destroyers of the Allied fleet, while they suffered the damage of 1 destroyer that was still able to operate. Battle was February 27th through 28th to March 1st, moonlight permitted the night fighting. Outside source says a ship will soon be here to evacuate the foreign women and children. Roy Henning. Poisoned by egg at breakfast, sick all day. Bryant Sterling. Spent all afternoon making a key blank for the lock on my toolbox. Rather difficult job as the key has to be grooved as well as notched. Find out today that where our bread is going to and why our slices are getting thinner each day. 1 or 2 loaves are being taken on a flat feet each day. None of the fellows are crying because they have nothing to do. Being a busy little bee, I find not enough time to do all I want. I have slippers to build, a wood vise, a drill holder, a wood saw, a watch fob, notebooks, and I suppose when these are done, I'll find more to manufacture. 3 or 4 of the boys have become sick to their stomachs, supposedly due to the fish we are eating. Yesterday, it smelled and tasted rotten at breakfast and supper. I found a swell pocket comb today, covered with dust on top of a cupboard. It looks like the best comb I've ever owned. Seems to have come from an expensive set.
And this concludes episode 15 of the We Raise the Stars and Stripes Over Japan podcast. Thanks so much for listening.